This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And first up, how can we design public spaces better, especially with safety in mind?
Yes, so this is coming up once again because of a recent case of a 27-year-old woman who came forward to the Sepang District Police Chief, Wan Kamarul Azran Wan, and she claimed that she was groped at the parking lot of Tamarind Square in Cyberjaya. So she said she was walking towards her car with a trolley of items when this man appeared offering to help her. She declined his offer. However, he went ahead and started putting items into her car before molesting her and then running away. Now, this has, of course, opened up a whole slew of other incidents that are now coming to light. A second incident was reported at 2:15 p.m. involving a 34-year-old woman where she was waiting for an elevator and the perpetrator hugged her from behind, molested her. Another person shared an experience on Twitter where her friend was harassed in the car park and she didn't sort of fight back because she had a pregnant friend with her and she was concerned for their safety. It was noted that there were no CCTVs at the public car park. And I think that has opened up a conversation about the kinds of things that need to be in place, what more, not just this particular area, but many other spaces should be doing.
So I'll get to my personal thoughts shortly. But first, if we look at a study, right? There was one recently done on women's perception of safety in Kuala Lumpur, and this was by Think City. And essentially, 94% of the respondents said that they did not feel safe walking at night in downtown Kuala Lumpur. And some of the things that they suggested that would help would be adding lights, maintaining amenities and pavements, improved cleanliness, better design, more active streets, and just, I think, you know, having more people on the street, essentially, and that in order to make this happen, that there would need to be gender mainstreaming experts in the city council, a prioritization of women's voices in city planning and design, and basically activities for women in the city to increase their presence in public spaces and to build confidence and ownership. All of which brings us back to our original point, right, about how to design public spaces with a better eye and mind for safety. Because CCTV is one of those things. I think another part of it is, of course, the issue of lighting. We've, as you know, we're hearing in this very survey or this very study, that's something that comes up. And I think blind spots aren't only for when you're driving. Sometimes you do have car parks or just other similar subterranean areas or areas that feel a little bit confined where you don't really have a lot of escape routes. And there also isn't a lot of CCTV, and it's also in a dark corner, and it's not lit, and then it's the trifecta of horror.
So I think this is why that particular point that Think City said, to employ gender experts, but also to increase the presence of women in public spaces, is important, because I almost feel like that blind spot that you're talking about doesn't become obvious until something happens. And I don't think we should wait until something happens before things are put in place. And often it does feel that way. It feels like, yes, we'll nominally have car parks for women. However, we won't have CCTVs or we won't have guards. And therefore, even if they might get harassed or attacked on their way to said car park, we might only be able to do something about it later. And I often find that when we have these conversations, when women, for instance, have these conversations with men, the blind spot is a real thing. Even when I say something about how scary it is to walk to my car at night, for a lot of people, the fear isn't an understood fear. It's a sort of, you need to live it to understand it. And I think that it is important to consider all the ways in which public spaces need to be made safer overall, even if it means it's because you want people to feel safe, not just because you don't want something bad to happen.
Yeah, and also an acknowledgement on that second point, right, from Think City about organizing activities for women in the city to increase their presence in public spaces to build confidence and ownership, I do think that's a real thing, partly because most of the time, these spaces that we're talking about are spaces that we have to occupy. They are the parking lots of our office buildings or our apartment buildings. They are simply the places that we are in. They're not places that we can necessarily make a choice to avoid. And because of that, if they are poorly planned, if they're poorly designed, and we don't feel safe, it's also a place where, well, perpetrators are likely to hang out, right? Because of all these things, because you know that people have no choice but to be there and to occupy those spaces. So we're talking today about what would make public spaces safer. This is following on recent reports in a specific spot in Cyberjaya, which has seen some cases of molestation. And I think that issue of, well, was there CCTV? You know, was the space safe? These are things that have come up. So we'd like to hear from you. What do you think would make public spaces safer? What would make them feel safer for you? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Lisa Fernandez, Advocacy and Operations Manager at Engenda Consultancy. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It is coming up to 5:14 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And we're talking today essentially about how to design public spaces with safety in mind, following on a number of recent incidents involving women in parking lots specifically. And I think, you know, that just has us thinking about the design of those kinds of spaces and how it can just be made better, which is what we'd like to hear from you. What do you think would make public spaces safer? What would make you feel safer when you're in them? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Lisa Fernandez, Advocacy and Operations Manager at Engenda Consultancy. Lisa, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me.
So first of all, how often do you hear of women feeling unsafe in public spaces?
So I think all of us know that this is a very pervasive issue. It's not just here in Malaysia. It's around the world. One in three women experience gender-based violence. And according to UN Women, over 70% of women have reported experiencing sexual harassment in public spaces. And almost all, 95%, did not report their experiences. So if we zoom into Malaysia, and Gender and Sisterhood Alliance as local safe city partners, with Red Dot Foundation, actually conducted a survey on sexual harassment in public spaces because we felt that, you know, there wasn't enough data out there for us to really address the issue. And we wanted to commence our initiative with evidence-based, have an evidence-based initiative. So what we found is that 59% of our respondents, who that actually included women and men, but 80% were women, 59% of them around Malaysia in almost 70 locations reported experiencing sexual harassment in public spaces. And besides that, we also asked them if they had not experienced it, whether they had heard of or witnessed it take place. And 60% of respondents mentioned that they had. So the other thing, though, is if we just look beyond the number of respondents we had almost 700, the number of incidents actually would come to at least 1,000 incidents. And this is, 961 among women and 46 among the men.
Now, do perpetrators of sexual harassment or molestation gravitate towards particular types of spaces?
Yes. Yeah, so just to mention, our survey found that, interestingly, majority of perpetrators were known to the victims. So it can happen anywhere and to anyone, but yes, there are high-risk areas, you know, places where perpetrators feel they can exit fast or they will be unnoticed or not caught. And naturally, it's kind of two ends of the spectrum. It'd be areas that are very crowded. On the other spectrum, it's actually places that are quite quiet. And so, in these incidents in Cameron Square, I don't think there were many people around at the time when this happened, and it also happened very fast. And that was also enabled by, what was mentioned and discussed earlier about the poor lighting, the lack of security around.
Sorry,
I just also wanted to mention something very interesting is that, we normally think that this happens predominantly at night, but our survey actually found that 70% of those who had experienced it mentioned it that the sexual harassment took place in the daytime, which I thought, you know, was quite an interesting finding.
So I did want to bring up the fact that when we have this conversation, the responsibility for personal safety is usually placed on the individual, all the different ways in which you could have made different choices in order to keep yourself safer, things like that. How would you respond to this?
Yes, that is the case, unfortunately. Quite often, you know, one may question whether the individual was careless or not observant of their surroundings. Of course, when it comes to women specifically, it can be about what they were wearing, right? So more often than not, women are bearing the brunt of victim blaming, especially when it concerns gender-based violence, and in this case, sexual harassment, sexual assault. And we know that that first reported case in December, if I'm not mistaken, the police officer actually asked, and the police officer happened to be a woman herself, asked what she was wearing and gave advice on how she could dress up. So, you know, in order to prevent this from happening to her. And, you know, so the onus is not on individuals, you know, especially women who the onus is usually on. The onus is not on individuals to protect themselves. We have to steer away from the emphasis on the individual in cases like these, because the more we do that, the more we take away the focus from the state's duty to protect its population and you know, also other stakeholders, especially whoever's in charge of the space, organizations themselves are responsible.
So generally speaking then, what is lacking when it comes to designing safe public spaces for women?
Right. So while there's a greater consciousness, you know, about gender issues, gender-related crimes, most buildings are still very neutral in design. So this can be in the form of, you know, poor lighting, lack of ramps for wheelchairs or strollers, limited access to help or services, and then a lack of security and, you know, CCTV, as was discussed.
So if we look at the infrastructural issues then, what are some designs that should be considered in public spaces, especially for areas that are high risk?
Right. So I thought I'll just quickly define public space. So give some examples. I'm not sure if this was mentioned earlier, but it just refers to places that are generally open and accessible to all. So some examples that we put in our survey for people to think about were roads, public transport, community centres, shopping malls, even places of worship, you know, banks, post offices, public common areas, and then buildings as well, of course, offices, schools and hospitals. So that is, you know, answering the question of where. But who is responsible? More often than not, these are spaces under the purview of government or a private organisation. So when looking at, you know, measures that need to be in place, it's not just about infrastructure, especially physical infrastructure, but it's the entire environment, the stakeholders, you know, especially, you know, as mentioned, whoever's in charge of that space, they all have the duty and obligation to take reasonable measures to keep their spaces safe for everyone who uses them. So some of these measures could look like, if we talk about physical environment, we need to ensure that there's obviously bright lighting. There's proper security in the form of personnel and patrolling. There are CCTV cameras. Also installing emergency buttons, you know, at various pillars. And then if we, you know, look at the wider environment, the social aspect and the stakeholders, there needs to be an accountability mechanism. They need to establish clear SOPs and guidelines on how to respond, you know, from the moment that security guard is informed, you know, of what has just happened. You know, what does everyone in that whole process or chain need to do in order to support and provide redress for that victim? Other than that, we need to make sure that there are helplines and all these first responders essentially are gender sensitized. And when they deal with the issue and they deal with the victim and survivor, they take a victim-centric and trauma-informed approach.
So if we hone in on one particular aspect that many buildings have done of late, right, which is the provision of parking spaces specifically allocated for female drivers, how safe or effective are these?
Right. So, yeah, some places have, you know, tried to be gender responsive by having designated parking for women. And this is, of course, because, you know, the data shows that women are make up majority of the victims. And even from our survey, we looked into who are the perpetrators in relation, and majority of the perpetrators are men. But more often than not, I think in high-density parking areas, the lots may be limited. Not all places can have a sufficient quota. And they may be taken up, leaving women drivers to still park in other available lots. This is where the patrolling by, you know, more security personnel, having the emergency buttons and also the first responder capacity building is very important, you know, just in case. And I think that we can't kind of let organizations think that, you know, just these the management think that, okay, you've allocated spaces for women and that's it. You know, you can sort of like brush off your hands and think that you have done what you need to ensure safety of the women. There are various measures that all need to be in place at the same time.
Speaking of, if we go back to Tamarind Square, it was reported that there weren't security cameras located in the car park where the incident took place. What guidelines are currently in place for buildings to actually have, well, security cameras, but also these safety measures as a whole?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not able to answer that particular question about the guidelines in buildings.
Right. So if we extend that perhaps to a higher level, do we need more regulation from the government when it comes to public safety?
Yes, definitely. So at the highest level, we need legislation. And that's why civil society organizations, specifically the Joint Action Group for Gender Equality and Gender and Young Women Making Change, we have been advocating meeting with government and legislators to push for a more comprehensive and survivor-centric anti-sexual harassment act. You know, and this is in light of current legislative gaps and widespread prevalence, as we know, of sexual harassment in public spaces, in organizations and online. So we are specifically calling for the inclusion of organizational duties, and this is for both public and private sector to create a safe environment from sexual harassment. And it also has mechanisms in place for protection and redress.
So, in closing, groups have been pushing for more female voices in city planning. Why is this important and how can we continue to advocate for this to happen?
Yes, so I'll just say a truism, but it has to be said, right? Women and men experience life differently, right? And it's important that, especially in city planning, we understand the lived realities of different segments of population. And so therefore, yes, it is imperative to have women in more leadership and decision-making roles and spaces when it comes to city planning. You know, one way we can do this is, of course, institute a quota system. But we don't want to only look at, you know, sort of that upper managerial leadership level. We have to take a participatory approach when it comes to, you know, planning our cities and spaces. So it's important to have continuous engagement with the community and make sure that when we do have these engagements, we ensure representation in the diversity of the local population. So this, of course, is especially important for marginalized groups such as women, girls, youth, elderly, and persons with disabilities. Yeah, there's a lot that needs to go into better design for if we want to ensure gender-responsive safe spaces.
Lisa, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too. That was Lisa Fernandez, Advocacy and Operations Manager at Engender Consultancy, talking about, I guess, some of the measures and things that we need to start thinking about in terms of making gender-responsive spaces and more specifically, safer spaces, right? And this is in relation to a bunch of experiences that were shared recently relating to women getting unwanted attention, getting molested in parking lots. And so we've been asking you, what do you think? What would make public spaces safer? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a couple of messages.
So, Mi says, the question is, why are there sick molesters prowling around? And I feel like that's a question that can be answered on a simpler level and a larger philosophical level, right? Because, yes, on the one hand, why don't we have more enforcement? Why don't we have people to make sure this doesn't happen? But on the other hand, why do we have attitudes and mindsets that allow people to think that this is okay to do?
So I would go further than that and say that I'm not sure that people think it's okay to do. What they think is they won't get caught.
Yes.
And that is where something like the CCTV thing comes into play. Because if there isn't a CCTV, then of course you are going to be operating and functioning as if, well, if I get away quickly enough, if it's dark enough and she can't see my face, if it's all these things, right? And it goes back to also, I hate to say that it helps when people are watching, because then we're heading down a surveillance state kind of path. But there is value, and you see that coming through in the responses as well. People want more light. People want there to be more people around in that setting. People want all these different things. And so what they really want, or what seems to make people feel safer, is in fact other people.
Well, an anonymous listener says, with face masks compulsory, criminals are more emboldened, as even the CCTV can't identify them.
I suppose there is definitely a part of that, isn't there? Actually, this is something that's been coming through quite a bit in relation to mask wearing and crime in general. I will say, I think it's interesting thus far that both of the messages we've been getting focus on the people and not on the infrastructure. And I wonder whether that's just a product of how it is that we think about safety, or, you know, I'm not sure, because I still think that there are infrastructural things that could be done, even if you have sick molesters in face masks, per these messages.
Well, I mean, I'm going to quote a movie and say, you know, the phrase, you know, build it and they'll come. I think the opposite is also true. Build it and, you know, you'll keep them away.
Yes.
Because I think that the infrastructure and the enforcement and the systems have to be in place first, because attitude change can only happen when there's an incentive or the carrot or the stick, right? Mm. Like, either of those things have to be there to convince people to not behave in these ways.
So we're talking today about a number of experiences that were shared by women coming forward recently, talking about essentially getting molested in a car park. And, you know, the fact that there are a number, I think, opens up that question. But in general, we wanted to talk about how our public spaces, car parks, alleys, just all these different spots can be redesigned so that they're safer. And that is the question we're asking you. What do you think would make public spaces safer? What would make you feel safer when you're occupying them? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back to read your messages after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.